Will you turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, as we consider God's word this morning from this chapter, Isaiah chapter 55. We listen here then and read here the holy, inspired, inerrant word of the living God. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God and of the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountain and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Our focus this morning is on the first verse, which is our text. This beautiful call or invitation, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. And the Lord continue to bless us as we then meditate upon these beautiful words from the prophecy of Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah, dear friends in Christ, has often been called the evangelist of the Old Testament. An evangelist, as you know, is one who brings good news, for which the biblical word is the gospel. And certainly the gospel is rich in Isaiah. Even though he lived 7 centuries before the birth of Christ, Isaiah proclaimed the good news of the coming, and the life, and the suffering, and the death of our Savior in what are surely some of the greatest messianic prophecies found in the Old Testament. One of those prophecies, which is well known to us and is found just 2 chapters prior to the one from which we just read, namely in Isaiah 53, movingly describes the atoning death of our Savior as the man who was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, a man who was wounded for our transgressions and for our iniquities, and by whose stripes we are healed. And in the chapter just before the one from which we read, namely chapter Isaiah 54, the prophet predicts the future blessings that God would give to Zion, to his chosen people, fulfilled again in Christ, blessings which would be experienced by his New Testament people, by the church as well, God's Zion of today. But now in Isaiah 55, from which I just read, God issues a beautiful invitation. Because, you see, it is never enough to simply hear the facts and the truths of the gospel. But for anyone to receive God's blessing and salvation, he must do something. He must come to God. He must come to Christ. He must come to the waters of God's grace, which he has provided us through his Son. And so in our text, Isaiah, or God through the prophet, exhorts those who have heard the gospel. He says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. buy wine and milk without money and without price. Now let me briefly direct your thoughts this morning to this great text of Scripture, a morning in which God also invites us to come to the communion table of his Son to eat and drink in remembrance of him. And although God is not specifically referring to the Lord's Supper in our text, what he says there certainly is symbolized in the sacrament of which we will soon partake. Because what is God talking about here in our text? He is talking here about the blessing of salvation. He's talking here about all the blessings, in fact, of his grace to us, which are ours in Christ. And he invites us to come and to enjoy these blessings which Christ has earned for us by his death and resurrection. And God issues his invitation, as you notice, in the form of a graphic picture. He says to us, come to the waters. In the city of Randolph, Wisconsin, where I previously served a church, there are quite a few Lutherans who belong to the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. The Lutherans call their denominations synods. You may have heard of the Missouri Synod Lutherans, a conservative branch of Lutherans. And so is the Wisconsin Synod. But members of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod like to shorten their name to WELS, the acronym WELS, just like we shorten our name as a federation, United Reformed Churches, to URC. And so it always struck me on their church signs, these Wisconsin Lutherans who typically post this invitation, they would say there, come to the WELS. Come to the WELS. Well, it sounded good. And it's what God is saying to us this morning. Come to the WELS. Come to the waters and drink of my life-giving stream. And what he is talking about, as I indicated, are all the blessings of his salvation in the broadest sense of that term. But before I say a little more about those blessings, let's note in our text that God places a double requirement on those who come to the waters, after which he extends to them a triple blessing to those who respond to his invitation. But first of all, note, who is invited to come to the waters? Who may buy and eat wine and milk from the table that God has set before us? Well, listen to the way our text begins. Come, everyone who thirsts. That's requirement number one. We have to come thirsty. And why does God say that? Why is that necessary for him to say? Well, because only those who have a true desire to receive God's spiritual blessings will profit from them and indeed be blessed by them. You all know, of course, that thirst is one of the strongest cravings that our bodies have and that arise out of one of the greatest needs that we have, a need for water. But unless we are thirsty, why would we come to drink anything to quench our thirst? When you are not thirsty, it usually is because your body senses really no need for something to drink. You have no urge to be satisfied. And that's true spiritually as well. If our souls are not thirsty, well, then we have no real desire to receive the means of salvation and the blessings that God offers us. We sense no urgent need of them. You've all known that well-known proverb, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. The horse has to be thirsty to drink. Well, we need to be thirsty to drink, to receive the blessings of God. The person who is self-satisfied, who senses really no need, who's indifferent, well, he's not going to be coming to the point where he realizes a need for a Savior. He's not going to be thirsty for God's salvation blessings. And that thirst must come to us when we are saved, but also after we are saved. In fact, I think that's probably the hardest part of being a Christian, to always be thirsty, to always be longing for God's saving blessings, to always thirst for his word, to always thirst for worshiping him, to always thirst again for the Lord's Supper in remembrance of our Savior's death, to always thirst for speaking personally with God in prayer. And you know why we often don't have that thirst for God's waters? Well, verse 2 of Isaiah 55 gives the answer, where God says, "Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy it?" There's the constant appeal for earthly things, which the world dangles before us, material goods and earthly pleasures, for which people will spend any kind of money to satisfy their temporal and often sinful desires, but which really, in the end, leave them unsatisfied and unfilled. Yes, Satan always offers competition for the waters that God provides. The sinful nature within us continually tugs at us to find our enjoyment and fulfillment in the things and activities and pursuits that satisfy only our temporal earthly desires. So what do we need? We need the Holy Spirit to keep us thirsty for the waters of God's blessings. Is your soul this morning filled with the Spirit? Are you thirsty this morning? Is it your longing to be here in God's house? Or is this just for you a routine act? Or worse, are you only here because you are expected to be here? Did you say to yourself this morning, as you came through these doors, "Oh, wonderful, we're here to worship God"? Did you say in your heart, "Oh, great, we're having the Lord's Supper this morning, and I'm eager and ready to celebrate the death of my Savior"? Or did you think, "Oh, yeah, that's right, as you read the bulletin, that's right, we've got communion this morning. I never thought about that"? Or maybe even some might think, "Well, it's going to be kind of a long service this morning." To come to the waters of God's gracious blessings, we first of all need to be thirsty. And the second requirement is that we have to come empty. Because listen again to what God says in our text. "Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price." And he who has no money. Now, isn't that strange? How can we buy something without money? Well, I guess one can buy in different ways. It's possible, at least in our age, basically, it takes money. In fact, really, that's what it means to buy. When you buy something, you pay money for it. But God says, no, when you want something from me, you have to come without money. And you see, that's the wonder of his salvation and all of its benefits. It is purely a gift. Everything that God offers us in Christ is a gift and cannot be bought with anything that we might offer. Yes, the reason is simply this: we have nothing to offer of ourselves which can obtain and which can earn God's saving grace. You and I must always realize that. We have to come to God empty-handed, penniless, before he will give us the blessing of salvation. "Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to thy cross I cling," says the hymn. That's the story of redemption. We cannot buy redemption with our life or our deeds, for none are worthy in God's sight. As Isaiah said elsewhere, they are really like filthy rags. So we must come to the waters without money. And yet, at the same time, we must also realize that salvation, those waters, are not cheap. They did have to be bought. In fact, what God offers us here costs a great deal, a tremendous cost. It cost an infinite price. It was paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It was paid for by God himself when he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. That was the price for the waters of salvation, a price that you and I could never pay. Why we must come empty-handed ourselves, but which was paid for in our behalf by God's own Son. And so we must come here again in a spirit of humble acceptance, an acceptance exercised by a total faith in Christ alone for our salvation. We must come here not to pay, but to receive without money. And so those are the two requirements, dear friends, in the Lord, that God lays before us here when he invites us, come to the waters, come buy and eat. First, come thirsty. Second, come empty. Is that how you are coming to the table of the Lord's Supper this morning? To remember and to receive by faith the blessing of what Christ has done for you, for your salvation? Well, if that's your soul's desire, if that's the spirit in which you've come, then you can expect to receive a great blessing. In fact, a triple blessing. Because salvation, you see, is a big package. And there's not just one thing in it when you open it, but there are many things inside the package of salvation. Which brings me then to my second main point this morning. As our text continues to describe or pictures here three salvation blessings that God offers to those who come to him thirsty and empty. Listen once again to the striking and graphic words of the prophet. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Notice that the gift that God offers us here is described with three metaphors in three ways. God tells us to come to the water and to the wine and to receive the milk. First, God has water for us. Come to the waters. What a precious commodity water really is when you think of it. It has so many uses, we can't even begin to enumerate them. But just thinking for a moment about our bodies, we can't even survive very long without water. Yes, we can live for some time without food, but not without water. Water is what keeps us alive. It's what gives us refreshment. And the same is true of God's salvation. Like water, that salvation gives us life, and it gives us refreshment. You remember what Jesus told the Samaritan woman who offered him water to drink from the well. But Jesus told her this, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The waters that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Yes, the waters of salvation give us eternal life. Jesus also put it like this in John 6, verse 53, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And the Jews who heard this couldn't understand what he meant by this. Even his own disciples didn't understand what Jesus meant by this at first. They were taking it literally. But of course, he meant it spiritually. The blood of Christ is the water of life for the believer. And so when you and I drink of the wine or of the grape juice this morning in the Lord's Supper, we are symbolically, we are spiritually drinking his blood. That is, believing that his shed blood has paid for our sins and has given us life, eternal life. And so come to the waters of Christ's blood. Then also God compares his salvation in our text to wine. The blessing of salvation is also compared to that. He says, come buy my wine and milk. Now, wine in the Bible is a symbol for joy and gladness. In Psalm 104, we read that wine gladdens the heart of man. You know, when there's feasting and there's celebration, like at Israel's festivals or at weddings. I think of the wedding at Cana. which Christ attended, wine was commonly served, as there still is at some weddings today. Now, obviously, we understand that some people can misuse wine and overindulge in it. Then it becomes a problem. Then it does not give happiness, not true happiness, but it leads to destruction. But wine properly used is like salvation that gives joy to the heart. When we worship God and we sing his praise and we serve him in our lives each day, we come to experience not only life, but joy. The joy of salvation, a joy that can never be taken away from us. Even in times of trial, even in times of hardship and sorrow. And likewise, partaking of the Lord's Supper is a sacred, solemn celebration in the church. Yes, it is. But it is a joyful celebration, because we're remembering the greatest gift that God has given to us, his own Son, and his redemption that he has earned for us. Do you know what Jesus did? You recall what he did with his disciples right after he had celebrated the Passover, or as we say, the Last Supper with them in the evening before his death? What did they do after they did this? Listen, they sung a hymn. They sung a hymn. We don't know what that hymn was, but I'm convinced it was an Old Testament psalm, like Psalm 16, with the ending words of that psalm, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Well, after celebrating communion, we're going to sing a hymn as well of joy and of thankfulness to our Savior. Those who come to the waters of salvation experience its blessing of life and everlasting joy. And thirdly and lastly this morning, when we come to God and we heed his invitation to come to the waters, he also encourages us to buy milk. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why milk? Well, because milk is a biblical metaphor or picture of spiritual nourishment, of growth. We encourage our children to drink milk when they're young. We say it's good for their bones. It helps them to grow strong. And the same is true with God's salvation. That too provides the nourishment, the strength that we need to grow up in our faith, in our love, in our Christian obedience. You probably know that God's word is described as milk in the Bible. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2, it says, "Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up in your salvation." God's word is, of course, the primary means by which we receive spiritual strength and growth. But the sacraments as well, like John Calvin called them, the visible word, have that same purpose and blessing. They too nurture, they too fortify our faith. They too enable us to grow stronger in our commitment and our love for Christ. One of our communion forms has this statement in it: "Christ gives us his life-giving spirit, through whom the body and blood of our Lord become the life-giving nourishment for our souls." Yes, we need to be nourished by the Holy Spirit, and we will be when we partake of the Lord's Supper in faith, so that we can leave God's house here this morning pretty soon, refreshed, renewed, and nourished in our faith and in our souls, as we have met with Christ around his table. Let us then all heed God's invitation this morning. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Yes, he who has no money, come without money and without price. How can we but respond to that great invitation to come to the waters, but saying, "O Lamb of God, I come." Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you this morning for that invitation. Oh, how wonderful it is to know that you have issued it to us, because we have no money to buy it. We have nothing that we can bring to it. we must come only thirsty and empty. But Lord, we do want to be filled. We do want to be fed. We do want to be refreshed and renewed. And you have offered to us that gift because you indeed, through your Son, our blessed Savior, have paid for that blessing for us. All the blessings of your love and grace come to us in your Son. And so we rejoice that we will be able then now at this time to partake of that sacrament in which we indeed are fed, nourished, strengthened in our faith, symbolizing, O Lord, that great salvation that you have offered to us in your Son. May all of us here have that spirit in our hearts this morning to say with true faith, yes, Lord, O Lamb of God, I come. In your blessed name, your Son's blessed name, do we pray this. Amen.